All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner Fluff Tube Edition. I got Brad Olson on, who, you know, to me, I couldn't find a bigger expert. The guy is an author of 10 books, esoteric series, modern, future, and beyond. What we're going to be talking about today with Brad is the whole Vatican press release, or the press conference of Vatican just had about supernatural apparitions, the supernatural phenomena. What is it really? Like, what are they really getting at? This is something to me that I know that the Vatican has been involved with, you know, cosmic science, the space travel. I mean, they have telescopes. I think one is named, isn't one of the telescopes named Wormwood, or one of the telescopes
Lucifer.
Named Lucifer. That's, well, whatever. Lucifer. I mean, this is so telling to me. First of all, Brad, it's an honor to have you on. Thank you for coming on.
Hey, David, it's always great talking with you. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, this story, it just kept getting weirder and weirder. Whenever you have a big organization like the Vatican calling a press conference, especially talking about things like supernatural phenomenon and apparitions, which is basically another way of saying aliens and UFOs without really saying it. But the Vatican is one of the most protected secrets organizations in the world. Look at the Vatican Library, still not even known what's down there. Just got some reports of people going down there. I was speaking at Contact in the Desert, and the Jesuit lawyer Danny Sheehan actually got access to go down there, and he said there's a row of pillars and then the vaulted ceilings, kind of like you're walking into an open book.
And so he's seen inside the Vatican vault.
Yeah, Vatican Library below St. Peter's. And very, very few people ever get in there, let alone get to really go through all the material that's kept down there. But it's been said that there is books and maps and other material dating back to the time of the Library of Alexandria. So it really is one of the best repositories of ancient texts and manuscripts in the world, but they hold their cards tight to the chest.
Because it's so, control. That's how they control everything, by holding that power, that knowledge, correct?
Absolutely. So when they come out and say that they're going to do this press conference, as I said, talking around UFOs and aliens, but supernatural phenomenon and apparitions and how they will deal with potential encounters in the future. That is one thing they said that makes me believe that what they're really talking about is alien life. And don't forget that Pope Francis at the end of 2023 said that aliens can be baptized. So they're prepping the narrative, basically. They're getting us ready for something. They know something's coming down the pike here. And
He said aliens can be baptized. I didn't even know he said that.
Yeah. Well, I have the actual.
And what quote. To me, this seems like they're getting ready to go and play this alien card that I think that is going to lead to some kind of. I'm trying to be very vague here on YouTube, but you know what I'm talking about. It's going to be the new type of religion, the new world. You know what? Right. This is going to be. I think they're getting ready to bring in the alien card and maybe an antichrist, could we say?
Yeah, or Project Bluebeam, the fake alien invasion when Wernher von Braun, who is a paperclip Nazi, but came over to America to start NASA, and he told his assistant Carol Rosen on his deathbed that the last card the globalists are going to play is the fake alien invasion. And basically what that would do is usher in the new world order. So full world government control through this scare tactic, because he told Carol Rosen, he says, you can't believe it. You got to tell people it's all fake. Don't believe it for one
didn't
second.
Didn't this guy also say, now I could be completely wrong on this, but didn't he also hint to the world being flat or there being a firmament?
That wasn't Wernher von Braun. No, he was basically, he developed the V1 and V2 rockets during World War II. I mean, the guy really should have been in Nuremberg for war crimes. They were using slave labor in an underground base in Peenemünde which is in the Baltic Sea area of Germany. And that area got bombed to crap. But much of the V2 rocketry inventions, he would developed it, and they were quick to absorb him and bring him over to the U.S., where, as I said, he helped start NASA with other scientists, including Hermann Oberth, another brilliant mind that came over. And when asked, where did the Germans get this technology? How did they advance so quickly? Hermann Oberth says, we had help from our friends above. So it's all this alien tie-in talk with high technology and contact.
Well, it's kind of like when I had Laura on, she talks about Val Thor, right? Is the existence of Val Thor, like he's very tied into the scientific or the nuclear physicist, the community here in America. Is that true? Is there any truth to that? Have you heard about Val Thor?
Oh, certainly heard all about him. He was the Stranger in the Pentagon, a book that was written by Frank Stranges back in the 1950s. And he was consulting with the Kennedys. And when JFK was shot, that Bobby Kennedy was running for president in 1968, partly to get to the bottom of his. And Val Thor warned him. He said, this is not your year to run in 68. Why don't you wait till 72? You'll sweep it. You'll win for sure. Bobby decided to run too.
So Val Thor, I've heard, I've watched Philip Schneider talk about him, a massive whistleblower that many people may or may not be familiar with, talks about Val Thor. He's from another planet, correct? Another Venus. Solar system entirely. He looks human and
very
has
much
what,
human.
Six fingers, six toes. Am I right about that?
Yeah, no belly button and no fingerprints, but right here in our solar system from the planet of Venus. So I don't know what to make of it because they say Venus is so hot that no life could live there. But I guess if you're talking about interdimensional beings, a real hot planet might not be a factor. I mean, there are videos of ships coming in and out of the sun. So clearly, these ships don't have the same kind of affliction to extreme heat. Same with volcanoes on planet Earth. Did you know most of the UFO sightings around the world are at, near, or above volcanoes, sometimes going right in and out of the magma chambers?
I was in Costa Rica and they were having an eruption there, and I could have swore I saw a UFO fly into one. And my friends were like, "God, dude, you've been drinking. What are you smoking?" I'm like, dude, I know what I saw. I know what I just saw. They just went in there. But no one believes me, but I know what I saw.
You know what you saw.
But yeah. And for me, I'm going to play the conference here of I guess one of the bishops here talking about, let me see here. Here we go.
Chi è presente, ma anche da parte del Santo Padre. Quindi darei la parola ai giornalisti. Vedo che alcuni vescovi sono molto coinvolti, anche appassionati, no? Per un fenomeno e vogliono dichiarare che è soprannaturale, che viene da Dio, che tutti vogliono, devono crederci, no? Altri invece sono arrabbiati e vogliono dichiarare che non viene da Dio assolutamente. Questa dichiarazione, come vedete, di soprannaturalità è complessa e ci porta anche...
Brad, I wanted to ask you, just going to pause this real quick. Yeah. Is there a chance these could actually be demonic entities?
Well, sure. I mean, when you look at the whole umbrella of alien life forms, there are benevolent ones, there are malevolent ones. The malevolent ones have a certain agenda that they're here on Earth to fulfill. Those are in service to self. The benevolent ones are in service to all, but they are not as hands-on. The demonic ones, well, gosh, passing down through the generations and over the centuries, especially with the church. I mean, you could look at these old liturgical paintings and other illustrations, which show bishops handing a Bible to a demon, crafts coming down. Just the audience hall in the Vatican City, which I have pictures of in my book, Beyond Esoteric, It's like the head of a snake, David.
Yeah.
Pope sits on this. Gosh, it looks kind of demonic background. They say it's Christ rising from the flames, but you look at it at a different angle, it looks like a reptilian ET.
Wow. You know, they say that, you know, it seems to me like, and I've talked to Ishmael Pettis about this, like all roads still lead to Rome. I mean, if the Vatican has so much power, really Rome is still in control, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And have been for thousands of years. What's really interesting, though, is in the time of the pharaohs of Egypt, you have the pharaohs, which are men like you and me, but they are considered living gods. So when the Romans took over the whole Mediterranean Sea, and that basically means our sea, our ocean, and of course the Roman Empire spanned all the way around the Mediterranean, the Caesar was a living god, and people worshipped him as such. You can see it in the statuary and the way he was treated. And now, what do we have in Rome? A pope who has an ear with God. And it seems like history doesn't repeat, but history rhymes.
You know,
and so it's right there in Rome, the eternal city.
You know what I've noticed also with these with popes and the pharaohs, they have elongated caps. They have these long hats. What is that? Is that paying tribute to a different species? Is that paying homage to maybe to a royalty type bloodline of humanoids or breakaway species that have elongated skulls? I mean, you watch the movie Coneheads, and I think they're kind of just hiding it in the open right there. I mean, seriously, popes, pharaohs, the pharaohs all had these androgynous type bodies that were like male, female type bodies and elongated skull. I mean,
right.
And now the Pope wears the same type of thing. Is there any relation there?
Yeah, the mitre hats of the bishops and the Pope that look just like the hats of the pharaohs, right? To disguise perhaps an elongated head. One of my talks at Contact in the Desert was about the giants in prehistory. And the common denominator is they had much bigger heads than average humans. I showed many comparisons of these elongated cone heads with a human skull. They're 30 to 35% larger cranial capacity. That is, you've got that much more brain matter in their skull. So look, you can wrap a head, you can do cranial deformation, you can put a board on it and wrap it around and change the structure of your cranium. But what you cannot do is add 30% more cranial capacity. So maybe they're disguising it, Nino. Maybe they're still alive. Maybe they're still running the planet.
Yeah, maybe they're underground. Here we go. I'm going to play some more here.
Tanti problemi. La più importante sarebbe una dichiarazione di Niki Lobstadt, che indica, come diceva Benedetto XVI, indica che non c'è nulla di contrario alla fede e alla morale e che è possibile aderire a questo fenomeno in maniera prudente, anche se non si è obbligati a farlo, ma è prudente farlo. Questa dichiarazione di Niki Lobstadt permette al Vescovo di cogliere tutto ciò che può esserci di positivo e di utilizzare questa esperienza buona per il bene dei suoi fedeli.
I got to tell you, man, I've heard the Vatican throw some major parties, and I could never see that guy getting down on anything. I'm just saying, I've heard that they throw some big parties, but you know, whatever. So if you just mentioned giants a second ago, and I'm thinking about that, and I know that from the 1800s into the early 1900s, there was actually news articles coming out about giants being excavated, that their bones were being pulled out of the ground. There's Indian stories or fables talking about the giants that they fought with, that they had wars with, that lived in the Nevada mountains, redheaded giants.
Yeah.
If giants existed and these species with elongated skulls existed and they're hiding that from us, that kind of throws a monkey wrench in evolution as well, correct?
It sure does. And that hence the cover-up. Why do you think this wasn't taught to us in school? Why do you think it's been covered up? In this country, we call it Smithsonian Gate, that they'll show up at some of these giant digs. I have it very well documented in Beyond Esoteric in a chapter called Suppressed Human Origins, that they'll take the bones and just disappear them and deny they ever took them out of the archaeological site. Because some of them were done by professional archaeologists, finding these giant bones in the mound sites in the Midwest and across America. And where I live in northwestern Nevada is in an extinct lake from the last ice age called Lake Lahontan. And I was just out to go visit Lovelock Cave and a couple other caves with Frank Jacob and Tanya Maddenford. We're going to shoot a documentary. We already started it, checking all this stuff out, because this is esoteric history, Nino. This has just been taken from us and not fully explained. And you got to ask why, because it certainly upsets the apple cart into our human origins and would rewrite the whole story.
You know, I've talked to Steve from How to Hunt. I don't know if you're familiar with his channel, but he talks a lot about the cryptids and Bigfoot and things like that. And he says, well, Dave, why do you think they don't want us to know about them? I mean, supposedly they have some kind of enhanced technology, these beings, you know? And he says, well, why don't you think they want us to know about them? It's because if we knew how they lived, we would demand the same. They live free. They're not in the matrix. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and you could also put a probably Bigfoot in that category too, that they have a way of coming in and out. But whether the giants are still alive, because of course you need a mating colony, you need a male, female, different families that can intermix and live over the centuries. Although these giants are reported to live very old, but you're still going to need a mating couple to keep a family going. Whether or not they're still alive is the debate, but I do show some pictures of what appear to be elongated humans with these giant skulls, mainly out the backside, still alive to this day. And Karen Hughes from the World Bank, she made some cryptic statements about a decade ago. She passed away in 2022, saying that these elongateds are still alive and they're the ones running the banking system.
I heard her come out and say that.
Yeah, remember that?
Yes, I remember it. She passed away from natural causes.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure how she died, but it was only a couple years after she made those statements. And
well, could it be possible? Because I've heard of the Kandahar giant, right? And I believe that story to the core. Yeah. You know, a lot of guys have come out, and I think Marzulli has covered that extensively. Could these giants be living underground? Could they be, could be what's under the earth be something that we have more than just caverns? Could it be another dimension entirely? Because I mean, they tell us, well, there's the core, and then there's the Malta, and there's this and that. I'm saying to myself, could it be in another dimension entirely? Could we have a hollow earth where they're living inside? And because there's even videos coming out right now where I've seen them that there was one giant pot, and I don't know if you've seen this, in a Mexican cave, in a cave in Mexico. Have you seen that footage?
Maybe not the footage, but I know they've collected a lot of bones, the elongated skulls there, and the Star Child skull that Lloyd Pye was taking around to the conferences. And I checked out the Kandahar giant with Michael Jaco, who was stationed in Afghanistan, Navy SEALs at the time. He says he knows guys that saw it, that was a real takedown. And incidentally, that giant came out of a really deep cave when he confronted the special forces, got one of the men on, but they kept shooting with high ordnance, large ordnance. They had to get a special net and a double prop helicopter to get the body out. It went to Kandahar Airport for a while and a bunch of other people saw it. And then off it goes back to the U.S., to none other than Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, where all the alien bodies are said to go for dissection and looking into it. So interesting, it goes to Wright-Pat as well.
So what do you think the whole purpose of this Vatican disclosure really is? I mean, I'm taking us right back to there. I feel like they're getting ready. They're obviously wanting to still maintain power, still maintain control. So why the disclosure? Is it to, there has to be some kind of Luciferian agenda in this, correct?
Yeah. And it's predictive programming. They have to tell us what they're going to do ahead of time. And if they're predicting an alien invasion or that aliens can be baptized, it's not the first, though. They did do a press conference on UFOs and the mysteries in 1978, but this is the first one since then. And then I think when Pope Francis came out in 2023, and I wrote down his quote here, he said that tomorrow an expedition of Martians came, and some of them came to us here on Earth. Martians, right? Green, with that long nose and big ears, just like children paint them. And one says, "But I want to be baptized. What would happen?" It was never the ministry of the closed door. Never. End quote. So what is he saying? That it's an open door to aliens? I mean, what a peculiar thing to say for the head of a major religion. And the way that he describes it, a long nose and big ears, that's not the way most kids would portray an alien. It's big eyes, very small nose and mouth, and a very big head, of course. So he kind of muddies the water with that quote, but I think the important thing is he's saying that if an alien came to us, we wouldn't turn them away if they want to be baptized. You think an alien would come here to just get the Pope to baptize them? That's pretty silly.
So what's your thoughts on programs? Like, I think they've been doing predictive programming for a very, very
Oh,
long
yeah.
time now. Like Ancient Aliens, you know, what's your thoughts on programs like that? I mean, obviously to me, it seems like they were conditioning the public for this by using that on the History Channel and pushing that for, I think that played for over a decade. I think that ran for almost
Yeah.
a decade, correct? Do you believe that that was part of the programming?
And still going. Well, I've been on a
Is it
couple
still
episodes.
going?
Oh, yeah. And now all the lead guys are on Ancient Alien Live, traveling around. I know all four of them. I just saw William Henry and Nick Pope at Contact in the Desert, good friends with David Atra-Childress. And I know Giorgio Tsoukalos before he was famous. They never thought this show would take off. They thought it would probably be one season, couple seasons. It just expanded in popularity and keeps getting renewed, and they keep finding new episodes. Sure, it's a form of predictive programming, but it also shows that people are very, very interested in this subject. That could be perhaps why the Vatican is coming out with this new press conference and how the church will deal with potential encounters in the future. So they're to present new provisions in the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith for discerning between apparitions and other supernatural phenomenon. So they must believe that there will be encounters in the near future to have this press conference and to say what they would, because they do hold their cards close to the chest, and they wouldn't be doing this unless there was some kind of ulterior motive or a form of predictive programming to get their flock ready for this.
So I have a pretty big Christian audience, and I want to get your opinion on this or your outlook on this. You know, if you're talking to people with faith, right, like my audience, what would you tell them? Would you say that they've always been here, that they are just started, they've been coming here for millions, maybe billions of years? Were they here before us? Are they demonic? Are they fallen angels, as the Bible declares them, as a lot of people believe they could be? What's your outlook on what these actually are? If you're talking to my Christian audience, and
Yeah.
believe me, that, you know, how would you talk to someone with faith that have a hard Christian faith? They're very rigid in the Bible, and they say they look at these things as completely demonic or fallen angels,
Well, it could
which
very
I'm
well
kind of one
be.
foot in too with that, by the way.
Yeah. It could very well be. And just keep in mind, for the longest time, they were called angels and demons. In fact, there's a documentary that's coming out to premiere at the Cannes Film Festival called God versus Alien this summer, and will reveal the Vatican secrets about UFOs in this documentary. So they're coming right out and saying it, that they know that there's this connection between the God of the Catholic Church and these aliens who come to Earth. But what I often tell people is, isn't it interesting that we've always been told that, oh, look to the skies, the extraterrestrial crafts are going to come down from a distant planet far, far away. Those are called extraterrestrials, extra outside of our terrestrial planet. But what about right below our feet? What about inner terrestrials, as you mentioned, coming out of the cave systems, coming out of these deep cavernous areas? How about them? Maybe they've been around for thousands of years. Maybe they're the ones that are the real demons that have been portrayed in the Bible. Because for so long, we've been told that the demons live inside the earth, right? That's where hell is, this fire and brimstone down there. So, and that's where they supposedly, these gray aliens are made in test tubes right here on our planet in laboratories like Dulce, New Mexico. I have a whole section of it in my book, Beyond Esoteric, about the Nightmare Hall and their genetic experimentations they've been doing there for a long time. That's a legacy base under the Archuleta Mesa. And so it's quite apparent to me that you've got the whole gamut of good and bad, of angels and demons that have been portrayed in the Bible, but now we're giving them new names because we can identify the actual species that they come from.
It seems to me that obviously they're not using a propulsion system, right? I mean, and it seems to me like when I've seen UFOs, I've personally seen them, okay? I've seen them 5, 6, 7 times. And when I saw them, they materialized out of thin air from what I saw, okay? It looked to me like they just appeared, like these lights. And I saw them outside of White Sands, actually. I saw them right here in Alamogordo, New Mexico. That's where I saw this. So if they're coming through another dimension, I mean, they're not using a propulsion system. They're actually bending space and time, correct? So they're able to... Their technology is far, far more advanced. They're kind of using they're teleporting, correct? That's really the technology they're using. So what kind of body, what, I mean, to me, it's like, how can they have figured this out? How can the body endure that, a teleportation process of bending space and time and just appearing in our reality? They're obviously, to me, I've always thought they're from another dimension. They're interdimensional. Is there a broad spectrum of categories here? Extraterrestrial? Are they coming through a propulsion system? Are they coming through interdimensional ways? Are they coming up under the earth? Is all things are a go, I guess.
Yeah, all things are a go. And in my book, Future Esoteric, I endeavor to really explain how these UFO crafts fly. And basically, when people witness a UFO, yes, they can go very, very fast. And when they're reaching speed of light speed, which is something else that we haven't gotten close to as far as our own backward engineered craft, but they make a sharp right angle turn and then disappear. So they're flying in such a ways that are completely inexplicable to our standard physics model. But Ben Rich, who was at the Lockheed Skunk Works, he said, we found an error in our equations, and now we've been able to work around that. And we have the technology to take ET home. He said, if you can imagine it, we've already got it. He said this in the mid-1980s. Can you imagine how advanced the development is now? But another one of the telltale signs of a UFO, they don't really fly. They basically create a gravity field around the craft, and the craft falls into the gravity field, even if it's straight up. And then when they're coming down, they're kind of like a falling leaf sometimes. They just sort of make their way down very slowly and can just shoot off in an instant as well, just by creating that gravity field, and it just sucks the craft right up into it. So then they're also multidimensional. When they make that right angle turn and disappear, they're shooting off into the upper dimensions.
Could we say that maybe they're being flown through conscious thought? Maybe that, you know, said, I think what's faster than light? What's faster than the speed of light? Consciousness. Could they be, am I right in saying that? I've always thought that. And would you say that's correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's already been known and proven. Basically, from the downed craft, the craft retrieval, starting with Roswell, it wasn't just one, it was two craft that hit each other that night. And the other one was found about a year or so later.
Two craft hit each other?
Yep. One
So they
came
make
down.
it all the way to this planet. They
Or
get
they're
all the
from
way here.
here.
They screw up
I
like
know.
that.
Well, we were hitting them with radar, and at the time, the radar would mess up their ability to navigate and fly. So the two came down, but the point is, we have been taking their craft and backward engineering it, right? Up there in Area 51, that's the main location. Now it's in Dugway, Utah. They have another location where you can see them demonstrating the craft on Wednesday night. We've gone there to Rachel, Nevada, doing sky watches, occasionally see something, maybe their drones. Who knows what they're testing these days? But certainly, we have been very hungry to acquire this technology. And that's why even Dwight D. Eisenhower was forbidden to go to Area 51 in the 1950s. And he said, I'm going to round up the First Army in Colorado and march in here with my men from World War II if you don't let me in here. So it has been so shrouded in secrecy that it's kind of hard to tell what exactly they're up to, but they're definitely working on this technology. So now the question is it ours or theirs? Because presumably we have anti-gravity, zero-point energy craft that can actually even fly to other solar systems.
I remember seeing some photos of presumably the aliens that crashed in 1947. People say they were future humans. What are those called? J-rods? One thing they all had in common, though, and I mean, from looking at their faces, it looked like they had faces of horror. Like they were like they in disbelief that they were here, that they're stuck in this world, this dimension. It looked like the faces on them looked like sheer panic. Am I looking at the right photographs, or do you know what I'm talking about?
Very old looking and just no emotion, but just kind of you wouldn't want to meet one of them in a
Well, it looked to me like
alley.
some of them were just like struck with almost like fear that they crashed and they're now here. Like,
Captive.
right.
But the original live aliens that were collected, and I love the quote from Bill Cooper. He says, "More live aliens were captured and collected than you're aware of." They couldn't keep them in just a normal jail cell. They were able to just phase in and out. They could even go right through a wall. And it wasn't until they realized we have to create a protective barrier. And what it was a Faraday cage. And they can't escape from Faraday
Like what you
cages.
put your phones in.
Yeah, exactly.
No
And so
way, dude.
every once in a while, there is what's known as the clean sphere at S4 in pretty close to Area 51 in the Nellis Range. Every once in a while, they do have quite a few captured and captive ETs that are working with our scientists to backward engineer these craft. Every once in a while, they'll escape and they'll start running across the desert. But the sand is either too hot or it hurts their feet. And they capture them standing on a log because they can't go any further. And they'll just find them out in the desert and bring them back
No
to the clean sphere.
way. That's the craziest shit I've ever heard, man. Holy cow, bro. This is so insane. I don't even know what to think. I see a lot of people like Stephen Greer coming on and disclosing certain things. And I often wonder, and I like Stephen Greer. I watch a lot of his stuff, and I'm intrigued. But do you think some of these people will be used wittingly or unwittingly to rush forth this alien card?
Well, sure. I mean, I saw it at Contact in the Desert last weekend. I met Stephen Greer a couple times. Yeah, certain people are rising to the occasion to be basically a spokesperson
But
to help.
used or are they
Well, it
for
depends how
the
you say that. I mean, they're making money from it. They're getting very well known. Maybe that's enough for them. Are they being used? Well, perhaps we're being used here, David.
Yeah.
We don't really know. But I could just tell you that this information or this subject has really caught fire like a
Loaded.
wildfire. I mean, so many people are interested in this, and I just see it at the conferences I speak at, and I've got another one here in Las Vegas, which is more like a health and wellness, but they want to bring in alien U2 people called Integrated Wellness this weekend in Las Vegas. So the size of these conventions are growing. More and more people are coming. More questions are being asked, which I think is great, because this is the big unknown here, right? We're talking about visitations from ETs. When you get the Vatican throwing down a press conference trying to get to the bottom of supernatural phenomenon and apparitions, and a documentary called God versus Aliens premiering at Cannes Film Festival, which is about the Vatican secrets about UFOs. And then, of course, they have their observation. They have the Vatican Observatory in Rome, and then the high-tech one in Tucson, Arizona, that is called Lucifer. And when I was prepping for the show, David, we were going to do this a couple weeks ago, but we couldn't get the timing right. I'm trying to look up everywhere. First, I started with Google. What is Lucifer acronym for? Google scrubbed it. They do not want you to find it. I had to go to, I think, DuckDuckGo to find it. I finally did. Lucifer stands for large, L, binocular telescope, near infrared spectroscopic utility, U, with camera, C, integral, I, field unit for extragalactic R research. That's Lucifer.
Wow. Wow. So let me get your thoughts on a few other things here, Brad, because you're a wealth of knowledge on this subject. What's your thoughts? I've had a guy named Jason Brashears on my show quite a few times. He's convinced that we're living in a simulation type reality. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, the holographic universe theory. I write about it in my esoteric books, and I think there's certainly something to it. Of course, Elon Musk came out with it and saying that we live in this simulation. That's really when people started taking notice. And basically the crux of that is that when you look at anything in our reality, in our world, everything is not what it seems. You know, we think we're in a solid room, sitting at a solid desk. But when you look at it on the molecular level, actually all this stuff is more empty space than it is solid. So then when you get to us, well, who are we? We're like these free will little mannequins doing our dance here on planet Earth. But it does appear that there's a higher power, a higher source, a higher consciousness. That's probably what has been interpreted as God over the centuries. And
a super consciousness.
Yeah.
Ethernet of super consciousness, correct?
Right. Now we got AI coming into the picture, and that's even pretty scary right there too, because if we don't rein this in now, this thing could really get out of control, and it could then become our master rather than the other way around, rather than humans controlling AI as its master.
You know, when you look at the double slit electron test that they did, remember, you know what I'm talking about, right? When they did the double slit and it was shooting through particles, and then when they observed it, it changed and it started doing waves through the four slits, and they could never pin it down. Is that the type of universe you believe we're living in a universe that's constantly conscious of us observing it and always changing? And I think it's always changing because it knows we're observing it.
Right.
Could that be possible? Could, I mean, it just consistently be changing on itself because we're observing it?
Because we finally get to see it.
Right. And it keeps
just itself, the act of observation.
It's changing. Yeah. I mean, it's elusive to us because it knows we're watching it. Could it be that?
It can be that. And that's also the crux of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, that just the mere fact of observation changes the outcome. So when you go into these quantum realms, the smallest of small, even the macro of macro, just the fact that somebody has eyeballs watching it, it will change its own outcome. So then,
I feel like that's the truth right there. I feel like that's what it is.
Because then you do have God infused in everything, everywhere, as this macro consciousness that pervades the universe. It's everywhere.
And what better than a prison that you can never get out of because it's constantly changing itself?
Well, that's why I call Beyond Esoteric Escaping Prison Planet, because There are those constructs that have been built around us.
Brad, before I let you go, let's talk about just really quick, you know, when Elon Musk fired off the rocket, is there a chance? And it looked to me like it was going through firmament, man. It didn't look like it blew up and pieces were falling everywhere. It looked like it went through some kind of like saline solution. Like it looked like it went through some kind of water, like penetrated some kind of water barrier.
Mm.
Do you believe that? Do you think there could be a firmament above us? I mean,
yeah, that's what all the flat earthers say too.
No, I'm not that's saying flat earth. I'm just saying maybe there's outer space, but there's also a dome maybe.
Right. Well, there's certainly layers around our planet. And the Schumann field is just another one of those layers. Perhaps the way that the rocket was going through at the speed it was, twice the speed of sound or high speeds, could also, you know, when planes do travel at the speed of sound, they create the sonic boom, and then there is like a plume behind them. So there are different manifestations when you take a physical ship and you send it through space and the atmosphere at really high speeds. So because when you go to the firmament, Juan O'Sullivan has really been one of the big opponents to the flat earth theory. And he even said you could just trace the money. It goes back to DARPA as the ones putting all this out there. Get us arguing over something nonsensical.
I'm not on board with that. I'm just saying, but I do feel like there's a dome. There's some kind of barrier that's not letting us go further.
But we don't have to call it that. We've got more sophisticated words for it as far as the layers of the atmosphere. That's really what it is. But Juan also said that you can trace the money all the way back to the Vatican. There we go. All roads lead to Rome once again. And they like to perpetuate this flat earth. Why? Because the Bible told us the world was flat. The Bible says that there was this firmament above. So, of course, they're playing into this. And this is also this occultic way of predictive programming called the revelation of the method, that they have to show us what they want us to believe before they can pull it off. So
because that's in order to escape their karmic backlash, correct? Or facing any kind of type of karma, correct? They have to show us before they do it. Correct. That way it's our fault and it's a loophole in their karmic beliefs, correct?
That's it. So if we're too stupid to figure it out from all their coding in the movies and TV and music and all the other ways that they prep us for this revelation, that now it's on us. And they actually go as far as to mock the victims. If we don't get it, they make fun of us. Because we do live on this free will planet. We all have the ability to make our choices. And because we do have this, it is a right to think on this free will planet for ourselves. All they can do is try to steer the narrative. All they can do is try to trick us into believing this false reality, this false matrix. And unfortunately, most do. You really kind of got to go do the deep dive here to get into this stuff. And just like decoding this Vatican press conference for what it really is. But why would the Vatican be planning to develop a positive relationship with the ET contact unless they knew that they were real, unless they had some kind of notion that they're going to come to Earth in some sort of spectacular fashion where everybody sees what's going on? And then the Vatican steps in and say, okay, we're ready to baptize those aliens. You know, so
I mean, but I would imagine it's more so for the Antichrist, what I would imagine, right?
Yeah. They have a lot of that. Look, and this is not a knock on Catholics or Christians, but anytime you have a rigid hierarchy, Freemasons, even Scientology, when you have the very, very top of the pyramid can be corrupted, then it trickles down to everybody else. And in these hierarchies, government, same way, academia, you get the president all the way down. All you got to do is affect those upper levels, and then all the rest will follow. And the Vatican is a perfect example of that. So humans have a psychological need of a savior, especially during these times of distress. And people do look skyward for divine intervention. I think that's why the Vatican is doing this press conference. They're saying, hey, we're not irrelevant in this discussion of extraterrestrials visiting Earth. We're preparing for it. We've got our satellites looking out there. And when they come, oh, we're ready to baptize them.
But they know they're already here. So why do they even have these satellites? I mean, why do they have these telescopes and satellites if they know they're already here?
That's a good question. I think you're
Why
right.
build those? Why put in the money to build those when they know they're already here? And if these beings are coming here, they're not coming, in my opinion, through any kind of propulsion type system. I believe they're materializing and dematerializing through dimensions. But that, like we said earlier, there's different methods and ways of travel. But could they be looking for something bigger, like something that call that like something that caused the Younger Dryas, or something like an incoming type comet, or
Yeah, meteorite, asteroid that could hit the Earth. Of course, there's no reason not to have more telescopes. It's good to look out in the heavens. We're learning much about the universe all the time. Look at the Hubble telescope has given us incredible insights into the far reaches of the universe. But when the Vatican believes that ET life already exists, and they do these press conferences, say, well, we're going to distinguish supernatural phenomenon from apparitions, remember, like poltergeists or the Amityville horror. They're saying, yeah, that stuff exists. We even have priests who are trained for exorcisms to deal with demonic takeovers of the body. But what if this is just a parallel to these malevolent ETs getting us prepared for some kind of ET interaction? Look what they're doing with CERN, man. This is this Large Hadron Collider in
allegedly,
Switzerland,
we have to
France.
say it's allegedly. We don't
Okay, let's
know.
say it's allegedly, but it has the potential to open portals. And what could allegedly come through a portal? Well, ships or ETs or these things that we don't want on this planet. I mean, we're really playing with the fabric of space and time, and it could have consequences that aren't so desirable.
Wow. I got to tell you, Brad. I love having conversations with you, man. They're epic every single time. And where can people find you?
Yeah. Well, find my books, come to cccpublishing.com, and we also publish Michael Jaco, Leon Lionsgami, Laura Eisenhower, and many others, but my
I just
books
got it,
are
Laura Eisenhower's new book. It's awesome.
Isn't it
I haven't,
great?
yeah, she's amazing. CCCpublishing.com, folks, go there and get whatever book your heart desires. There's a lot of them
Yeah.
there. This is great stuff.
All this stuff we've been talking about. And my conference schedule and where I'm going to be speaking is on bradolson.com, just the way my name is spelled, .com, and other projects that I'm involved with, you can find out there too.
Brad, thank you so much for coming on, man. This was epic.
Always a pleasure with you, David. Thanks for having me on. Great
And dude,
talking to you.
you're how tall are you? You're 6'7"?
6'9".
Dude, no
Got you by
way.
a couple
You're
inches.
6'9"?
You're a big
Oh,
guy
you
too.
big, bro.
Six, four and a half.
I'm
That's
just
no
teetering
shrink.
on 6'5", man. I'm a little shy of 6'5". You're 6'9". Damn, boy.
I
That's
got super
crazy.
long legs. You probably got me in
Well,
around the
I
shoulders there.
was an inside
Boxer
fighter,
arms.
so I loved fighting the taller guys. But man, Brad, thank you so much for coming on. It's amazing, dude, as always.
Hey, great talking with you, as per usual. We'll do it again sometime.